Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
This lesson today is on sins. There seems to be some confusion about what happens to us when we sin after we're saved. And so we need to clear that up. And this sermon will deal with the subject of sins at our salvation and following our salvation all the way to the judgment seat of Christ. So let's be real clear on this today, that we'll deal with each kind of stage and make sure that we understand plainly what the Bible says, and that way we can clear up any confusion, keep from having any misunderstanding. The judgment of sins includes the following. First of all, the judgment of sins at Calvary. The judgment of sins includes the judgment of sins at Calvary. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, great passage of Scripture. For he, that is God, hath made him, that is Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he became sin for us. I know that's not the first time you've heard this, particularly if you've listened to any of our broadcasts. We hit this verse, it seems, frequently. Anyway, Jesus became sin for us and died. You know, the wages of sin is death. He was buried and then rose again the third day. John the Baptist, when he introduced Jesus Christ to Israel, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And that's very important, because we understand when Jesus Christ went to the cross, then all that sin was judged. All that sin was put on Jesus Christ, and he took away the sin of the world. Bible says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." That's Romans chapter 5, verse 18. And here's the point. "Therefore, as by the offense of one," that's Adam, "one man, because of his offense, because of his disobedience, because he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil when he was told not to, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." That is, everybody who is a descendant of Adam dies. All of Adam's generation, Genesis chapter 5, all of them died. And all men since then have died, and we're going to die. The only ones of us who won't are those who will be alive when Christ returns, who are also in Christ. Then we'll just be changed. So Adam's offense, because of that, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Then the verse in Romans 5:18 goes on to say, "Even so by the righteousness of one," that's Jesus Christ, "the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." So Adam's offense caused a judgment that ended in condemnation. Christ's righteousness and that free gift brought justification of life. Therefore, here's the deal. Anyone who will receive Jesus Christ is the free gift. Anyone who will receive Jesus Christ will be justified, because the sins have already been judged at Calvary. You know, John 3:16, very famous verse of Scripture. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The gift is Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, he is the righteousness and the free gift. And when you receive him, you have justification of life. And that's because all of our sins were judged at Calvary. And that solved our issue with death, and that solved our issue with hell. All right, then. Here's the next. The judgment of sins at Calvary. Now, the next one is the judgment of sins at salvation. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus Christ washed us from our sins in his own blood when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received him. And that's the key. So the gift is available to all men, Romans 5:18. But the only ones who receive that gift are the ones who receive Jesus Christ. And when they receive Jesus Christ, we receive the justification because we are washed from our sins in his own blood. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verses 9, 10, and 11. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10 in a minute. So I'll refer to it at that time. But just listen to it now, and then verse 11 is the one we want. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So in the Corinthian church, in the Corinthian congregation, there were these who had been committing those sins, who were known as a fornicator or idolater or an adulterer because of the sins they were doing and what they were. And he said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. And that's true. We're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, this is great. You see, what happens is the free gift that we saw in Romans 5:18 is to all men, and when you receive it, it's justification of life. So he says, and such were some of you, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Well, this is a great thing. Well, you say, well, what is justification? You know what? Justification is basically this. It's a trial at which you're found not guilty. Justification, you appear before God when you get saved, and he declares you not guilty right on the spot. So that when you're saved, you have already been justified. It's not something you're waiting for. Justification is not something you're waiting for. You're not waiting to appear before God in a judgment in heaven to find out whether you made it to heaven or not. Justification is something you have right now. The Bible says in Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So that's something that takes place the moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right. So what we've seen so far is we've seen the judgment sins of Calvary, because Christ died for all of them. They were in his body. The judgment sins at salvation, you are declared not guilty. Now, this is where it gets tricky. The judgment of sins after salvation. All right, let me just ask you a question. Is it not true that you have sinned since you've been saved? The answer, of course, is yes. Well, what happens with those sins? Well, as far as the judgment at Calvary, they're already taken care of. No hell. For those who receive Jesus Christ, no hell and eternal life. There's no loss of that life. All right, that's fixed, okay? When you receive Jesus Christ, your Savior, your justification is done. However, the work of sin, since you still sin after you're saved, does have consequences. There is a judgment for those sins after salvation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verse 31. We're in the middle of the context of what to do about the Lord's Supper. And we'll look at the context, verses 28 to 30, in a minute. But listen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Well, we know this can't have to do, this doesn't have to do with justification, because that judgment was not ours, it was God's. And we've already been found not guilty. This is a judgment that takes place in the life of a Christian after he gets saved. And we are told to judge ourselves so that we would not be judged. Listen, you can't be thrown into hell for your sins after salvation, and you can't die after salvation. And I'm not talking about physical death. You will do that, but you can't die the second death of Revelation 21:8 after your salvation, because you are in Christ. You see, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 says this: the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, you're justified. You can't face the second death after you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. However, there can be some problems. We're going to see what those are. Now, the reason you don't face the second death is this. Number one, you're in Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. The Bible says we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Well, do you know where that flesh and bones body is? It's seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 tells you and me that when we get saved, we have been raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, you're there. Also, you've been given eternal life. Eternal life is eternal life. It's not eternal life temporarily. It's eternal life. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So you know it. It's done. Matter of fact, John chapter 5, verse 24 says that we've already passed from death unto life. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So, you're not going to die after your salvation. I'm talking about a spiritual death or a second death. You're in Christ, you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you've been given eternal life, and you've already passed from death unto life. But, with all that said, you can suffer every temporal consequence for sin just like any lost man. Temporal consequence, that is, something that's temporal down here in the earth, not eternal like up there in heaven. You can suffer every temporal consequence for sin just like any lost man. You can suffer temporal condemnation for walking after the flesh. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 1. Watch this. I know the modern Bibles mess with this verse. They take out half of it, and boy, they really have taught a heresy when they do. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's certainly true of eternal matters, but speaking in temporal matters, there is. And that's why he goes on to say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is condemnation then for a Christian who walks after the flesh. Absolutely. And you can suffer that condemnation for walking after the flesh. I'll give you a good example. If I break a law, a serious law, one that if I'm found guilty is going to wind me up in jail, you know what? If I'm tried and I'm found guilty, I'm going to jail. And you know what that is? That's a condemnation. And why did it happen? Because I was walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. You can reap corruption Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Corruption. You ever seen what alcohol does to people? You ever seen what drugs does to people? You ever seen what nicotine, cigarettes, what that does to people? You ever seen that? You know what there is? There's a corrupting thing. You ever seen what overeating does to people? There is a corruption in that. And you suffer that temporal corruption. You can get sick. You can grow weak. You can die because of sin in your life after you get saved. Look at back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where I told you we would return. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we saw there, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. All right, what's going on? In the Lord's Supper, we're told to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Sometimes the word damnation is used in the New Testament, and it's not talking about hell. It's talking about that condemnation or that judgment against him for sin. Drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Watch it. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Meaning there were even people in the church that were dying as a result of this. Now, so you... I'm going to tell you, you can lose your health, you can lose your strength, you can lose your life for sin in your life after salvation. You can lose your testimony. You can lose your reputation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And look at verses 6 and 7. I know this is directed to bishops, but this is just an example. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The guy's not going to go to hell if he's a saved man that's a bishop. But as a novice, what happens is he gets lifted up with pride, and then the devil condemns him. 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So he loses his testimony, he loses his reputation, and he gets out of the ministry. So listen, and we could go on and on with these examples. Ananias and Sapphira, perfect example. Listen, the Lord gives us the instruction in 1 Corinthians 11, 31 to judge ourselves and to confess our sins. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28, 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You confess them, not with the intention of just going back to them and repeating them again and again and again. You confess them and you say, you know what, I am done. I'm forsaking that thing. So there's the judgment of sins at Calvary when Christ died and made a way for all men to be justified. The judgment of sins at salvation when you become justified by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, who's washed your sins in his own blood. And then there's the judgment of sins after salvation, and that judgment is a judgment you and I perform every day to keep us away from those things that can corrupt us and temporally condemn us and destroy us on this side of eternity. And here's another one. The judgment of sins at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is a stickler sometimes. People think, well, if all the sins have been paid for, I surely am not going to face these sins at the judgment seat of Christ. But I don't believe that's so. And I'll show you why. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Again, these are not sins that are going to throw you into hell. These are not sins that are going to cause you to lose your eternal life. But they are going to have an eternal consequence, sure enough. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and this is written to Christians, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So a question came up in a Bible study recently. It was a great question. How can a Christian do something bad and it not be sin? And the truth of the matter is, it's going to be sin. He quoted a verse of Scripture, which is true. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right, so that bad stuff that a man does for which he's going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ is sin. Sins that we commit after we are saved have eternal consequences. Not that you're thrown in hell, not that you lose your eternal life. Here are the eternal consequences. You wind up at the judgment seat of Christ to be judged, and you are judged for those things that were done in the body, whether they're good or whether they're bad. And if they're bad, you know what you're going to do? You are going to lose a part of your inheritance. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verses 23 through 25. Very important. Listen. Directed to Christian. Eternal consequence for sin on this side of glory. Listen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 through 25. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So the reward of the inheritance is that there's some inheritance we all get, and then there's another inheritance where we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ and we receive a reward. Your mansion in heaven is your mansion in heaven. It's there. This stuff here we're talking about has to do with being a joint heir with Jesus Christ in his eternal possessions. And when you've done something for the Lord, then of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Verse 25, Colossians chapter 3. But he that doeth wrong. Said, well, I thought all my sins were judged at Calvary. They were. They're not going to send you to hell, and you're not going to lose your eternal life. But when you do wrong, watch it. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. It doesn't make any difference how good you are, how bad you are. When you do something right, when you do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the reward of the inheritance. When you do something wrong, you receive for the wrong which you've done. That's what 2 Corinthians 5, 10, and 11 said about us appearing at the judgment seat of Christ. So the loss of inheritance is what you have because of things that you've done wrong in your life after you got saved. The loss of inheritance in the kingdom of God due to sin is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Ephesians 5, and Galatians 5. Let's look at them real quick. We go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where we were. Look at verses 9 and 10. Watch it. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It didn't say possess or go to. It said inherit. Listen, there were 6 kids in our family. My father passed away and left a will. He could have cut any one of us out of the will. Let's just say I became just a real hellion and I said, you know what? I don't like you. I don't like my last name. I don't want to be a part of the estate. I'm out of here. I'm moving to a foreign country. Leave me alone. And so my father says, okay, I'm going to cut you out of the will. You know what? I'm still his son, and let's say I marry and have a child. That child is my father's grandson. I am his son. But as a son, I can lose my inheritance. You've heard of it. You probably even know somebody who has. And that's what the Lord's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he lists what? Sins. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, and effeminate, and so forth and so on. That's what he lists. Galatians chapter 5, you'll see it again. Here's a guy living after the flesh, and he says, if you live after the flesh, you're going to suffer condemnation. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and then he starts running down a list of sins, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, blah, blah, right on down the list, and then he says, in verse 21, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he's writing to Christians. He said, you'll be there, but you're not going to have an inheritance there. You forfeit that when you get into sin, like these things that are in the list here. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 5. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolatry hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So let me tell you something. There is a temporal consequence for sin after you get saved. You can suffer the condemnation of law. You can suffer the corruption in your body. And there is an eternal consequence for sin after you get saved, whereby you can lose inheritance at the judgment seat of Christ. And God is no respecter of persons. You say, well, weren't those sins all taken care of at Calvary? You betcha. And that took care of death, and you know, the eternal death, and that took care of hell. But it didn't take care of these other things. You can't say as a Christian that I've been saved now, I can go off and I can party hardy and it's not going to take a toll on my body. That is not true, and you know it. And as it takes a toll on your body, it also takes a toll on your eternity. You are just deducting hand over fist on any inheritance you might have received with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me conclude with this. The judgment of sins includes this, the judgment of sinners for eternity. Revelation 21:8, which I've already read, said, among other things, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let me just tell you this. If you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire for rejecting the only remedy that can keep you out of there. Jesus Christ died and gave himself to you. He rose from the dead, gave himself to you, that you, through his act of love for you at Calvary, could have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 36 says this, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will give you everlasting life. But the verse goes on to say, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That is your current condition. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to see how it's going to go at your judgment. If you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your judgment has already been set. The wrath of God abides on you. You can only be justified by the one who paid for your sins, and the one who paid for your sins is Jesus Christ. And if you will come to him, he will justify you, and your sins will be forgiven and gone, and you will not face them as far as your eternal location in glory. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, BC.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.